Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Since I began practicing law in Ukiah in 1974, I've personally had a long-time interest in politics, particularly here in Mendocino County, and an interest in law. When the two of them come together, I like to produce a program, and that's what this edition of Radio Curious is about. I worked as Chief Deputy District Attorney in the Mendocino County District Attorney's Office from 1999 to 2001. During that time, Keith Folder and Meredith Lintott were both deputies in the District Attorney's Office. After I left the office in the spring of 2001 and returned to the private practice of law, some of my work included criminal defense and represented defendants who were prosecuted by Keith Folder and other defendants who were prosecuted by Meredith Lintott. When Keith Folder filed litigation seeking a special election as a result of Norm Vroman's death the end of September of this year, I decided that it would be an interesting program here for Radio Curious to talk with both Keith and Meredith. On November 11th, I interviewed Keith Folder about the lawsuit that he brought. That was before the California Court of Appeal handed down a decision on November 21st stating that there had to be a new election. At the time I interviewed Keith, I also spoke with Meredith Lintott because I wanted to interview her about her response to this litigation. She referred me to attorney Steve Antler from Mendocino, who was representing her in opposition to the Folder lawsuit against the County of Mendocino and against Meredith Lintott. I did speak with Steve Antler on November 26th, several days after the Court of Appeals decision, ordering that a special election be held. So in this program, we'll hear the November 11th interview with Keith Folder, and then we'll hear the November 26th interview with Steve Antler, discussing the status of the Mendocino County District Attorney's Office and how it will be filled, and the effect of the recent Court of Appeals ruling, along with the fact that Meredith Lintott and the County of Mendocino have appealed the decision to the California Supreme Court. Keith Folder, welcome to Radio Curious.
Thanks, Barry. Nice to be here.
What I'd like you to do is explain the two aspects of the district attorney's race. One is the election, what has happened, and what we can expect. And two is the lawsuit that you brought against the county and the registrar of voters. So let's start with the election.
Well, today is Saturday after the general election that was on November 7th. So we're still waiting to hear from the Court of Appeal about whether or not the votes that were cast for the DA's race are going to be counted, or whether or not there will be a special election. And until we hear from the Court of Appeal and their decision on that issue, we're kind of in limbo.
What has the Court of Appeal been asked to do?
There are two competing elections code sections. One, it's Elections Code 15402, says that if a candidate dies 68 days before an election, then those votes will be counted, and if the person who has deceased gets the most votes, then whatever procedures are in place for filling that vacancy will take place. There's another code section, though, that is more specific, and it applies to nonpartisan elections such as the DA's race or the sheriff's race, and certain things have to happen, and that's Elections Code 8026. If it's a nonpartisan race and one of the two candidates on the ballot is the incumbent, and either the incumbent or the challenger dies within 68 days of an election, then no votes will be cast, and if cast, no votes will be counted according to that code section. Now, I think that both County Council, who is advising the Board of Supervisors, and Marsha Wharf, I think we all agree on what the statutes say. It's whether or not the statute 8026 applies to all elections, as the code says, or just to primaries based on its placement within the elections code. County council's taken that position that it's that 8026, with all those specific requirements, only apply to direct primaries.
The June or March election.
Yes.
So what's your theory that it applies to the November election?
The strict language of the statute. It says, notwithstanding any other provision of law, in an election, and then it says, if these things happen, the incumbent's in the race, and he dies within 68 days of an election, or the challenger does, and it's a nonpartisan race, then these things have to happen. My position is that it applies to general elections by the language of the statute itself. It wasn't just my opinion. I went to some of the best legal minds in the community and talked to them about it. Actually, I have to be honest, I didn't discover this code section. It was brought to my attention, and it was brought to my attention that it applies to the factual situation surrounding Norm's death, and county council wasn't following the law. So I read it, and then I also read the legislative history and the cases that surround it. And I agreed. I found that, in my opinion, in reading all of the information that was out there, not just the statute, but the supporting legislative history, there are no cases that have interpreted this statute yet, but all the other cases that went before the passage of 8026, and I found that the county wasn't following the law. So that's why I put my name on it.
What does the supportive legislative history tell us?
In 1986, there was a sheriff's race down in San Mateo County, and the sheriff was a very popular person. He was the incumbent, and the people who were most qualified to run against him chose not to run against him because they thought he was the best person for the job, and they supported him. The only person that chose to run against this popular sheriff was a person that was not very well respected or liked in the law enforcement community, and everyone knew that he didn't have a chance. So when the incumbent sheriff died within 68 days of the election, there was all this scrambling to find out how they could prevent this type of situation from happening in the future. They tried to pass special legislation that affected just the outcome of that race or just the outcome of a certain type of race, and the Supreme Court said, no, you have to pass a statewide legislation if you want to prevent this type of situation from recurring. And so they did, and that is when 8026 was passed.
Did you attend the arguments before the Court of Appeals that occurred on Halloween on October 31st?
I did. I was down at the Court of Appeal in San Francisco.
What was your take on the questions that the judges asked the attorneys?
Well, just the fact that they decided to order the county to come down and argue why our petition shouldn't be granted, I thought was a good sign that they believe that 8026 applies. Then when I heard the questions and the direction of those questions, who they were directing those questions towards, I felt that they were leaning towards granting the petition also, that the Court of Appeal also believes that 8026 applies. It seemed that their biggest concern was in protecting the integrity of the November 7th election. I think that they wanted to make sure that whatever they did, I'm talking about the Court of Appeal, it didn't have a chilling effect on the outcome of the election where it had all these other offices up and other issues on the ballot. That seemed to be their biggest concern, protecting the integrity of the election. So Marsha Wharf was there, and she told the Court of Appeal that she could prevent the disclosure of the outcome of the DA's race and still count all of the other votes on the other offices and other propositions.
So that was the basis for the court's decision, or the court's order to her, to prevent the disclosure.
That's right.
Not even count the votes.
That's right. She said that she had the mechanisms available to count the votes, but not disclose the votes for the DA's race. And so the Court of Appeal ordered her to do that.
Well, Keith Folder, you're now the acting district attorney. You were appointed by the Board of Supervisors shortly after Norm Vroman died. How do you think the stability of the district attorney's office should be maintained now during the unstable time since Norm Vroman died and the result of the upcoming election interwoven with the lawsuit that you've talked about?
One of the things that I'm very proud of Norm for doing is hiring good people and putting them in the right positions. And when Norm passed on, even though it was unexpected, everyone knew what they were supposed to do, and they continue to do their job, and they're continuing to do their job. We've got a wonderful group of support staff. We have top-notch investigators and very, very good attorneys. They are still doing their job. The job is still getting done. There is some continuity because I've been in the office for the last almost 8 years, and I've been in the position of chief deputy and then assistant. And so we miss Norm, and there's a huge vacuum with his passing, but there really is still continuity because everyone's in the right place doing their job.
So what are you doing to maintain the stability?
I'm making sure that all the people that Norm hired have everything they need to get the job done, just like Norm did. Norm and I have different personalities, but we agree on that. Hire the best people and put them in the right positions and let them do their job. And they're doing it. And my job is to make sure that they have everything they need to get the job done. Of course, significant part of my work is dealing with other agencies, law enforcement agencies, and the Board of Supervisors, so that we do have the resources that we need to get the job done. My job also is to make sure that some of the more serious cases that come through the office, particularly some of the homicides that unfortunately have come up recently, are charged properly and get to the right people, and that those are taken care of.
What are your plans for the future?
Well, I'm waiting for the Court of Appeal to help give me a little bit of direction, but I'm here until January in this position, and at least until January, and I'm going to do what is the right thing to do for the county and for the DA's office, and making sure that people are properly prosecuted and that the people who are improperly charged are exonerated. That's my job, is to take care of all of that, make sure that justice gets done on a case-by-case basis.
Isn't one of the duties of the office of the district attorney to charge people with crimes? So if they're improperly charged, why would they be prosecuted?
Well, cases come to us based on a law enforcement's determination that probable cause exists to arrest them. When that report comes to us, and I in particular make these charging decisions, is there sufficient evidence not only to arrest, but to prove their guilt beyond a reasonable doubt? They may be, that person who has been arrested may be still in custody, and I've got to make a determination then, based on the reports that I have, can I prove that case beyond a reasonable doubt?
So there's two standards. One, is there cause to arrest, probable
right.
cause to arrest? And two, can you find enough evidence to prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt?
Law enforcement arrests based on probable cause. We charge based on a good faith belief that we can prove the guilt of the defendant beyond a reasonable doubt. Our standard is higher than law enforcement's standard to arrest. And even if at the time we get the report, we believe based on that report, we can prove a person is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt for any particular charge, during the course of a case, the defense attorney may present us with evidence that shows that the person isn't the properly charged, or some other charge is more proper, or some other person did the crime. So we are always vigilant to make sure that in every case, at whatever stage of the case, that we are prosecuting the right person for the right crime, and that we can prove that case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Well, Keith Folder, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious, and let me ask you to tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately.
I was thinking about that when you told me that would be your last question, and my favorite books are always biographies and histories, and I'm always reading at least some kind of a history book, and I just finished Theodore Rex. That was an interesting book. I think Theodore Roosevelt was one of the unsung heroes of American politics. A lot of people don't realize how intelligent and how well-educated he is. But I always look for those kinds of books.
Keith Folder, thanks for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry.
The interview we just heard with Keith Folder, acting district attorney for Mendocino County, was recorded on November 11th, 2006. The next interview that we will hear is with attorney Steve Antler, who is representing attorney Meredith Lintott, who is seeking election to the office of District Attorney of Mendocino County. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Steve Antler, welcome to Radio Curious.
Thanks, Barry.
Steve, when I wanted to do this interview about the Mendocino County District Attorney's race, I called Meredith Lintott, and she referred me to you as her attorney. Why is it that you did not want her to talk directly with me?
Well, Barry, you represented that the interview was going to be about the case that's pending in court, and Meredith Lintock is the client in that case and not the attorney, and as the client in a case, I didn't think it was appropriate for her to be interviewed about the legal procedures going on in that case or to make statements that could have affected that case. The Court of Appeal could have remanded the case to the Superior Court for an evidentiary hearing, and naturally, we don't want things that were said in the radio then used in a court proceeding. I think that's quite appropriate, and most lawyers would do the same thing.
Well, let's talk about the decision that was handed down last week by the Court of Appeals in San Francisco that basically says there has to be a new election because Norm Vroman died within 68 days of the election itself. What's your take on the Court of Appeals decision, and why have you decided to appeal it to the state Supreme Court in Meredith's behalf?
I think that the Court of Appeal was dead wrong in that decision, and because what it did was change the way a statute that has been in existence since 1986 has been interpreted for essentially 20 years, 18 years, because it was revised in 1988. The statute always applied the section where an incumbent is running against one other person, and then either the incumbent or the other person dies, to apply just to the June election. And that's the way it's always been interpreted. That's the way it's always been applied.
But it hasn't been interpreted by the courts up until now. My understanding is it's only been interpreted and applied by the several counties where this issue has arisen.
That's right. It hasn't been interpreted by the courts. It's been interpreted by the county clerks and the election officials who deal with elections. That's the way they've applied it. There were no court cases when this happened in 1998 in Los Angeles County, and the sheriff died prior to the November election. No one jumped forward and filed any suit, so there haven't been any court cases on this particular statute. I think the Court of Appeal was wrong for a number of reasons, and hopefully the California Supreme Court will look at this and reverse the Court of Appeal, although, as you know, there's probably, they don't take many cases and it's discretionary with them, so they may not review it.
What are the reasons that you feel the Court of Appeals was wrong?
Well, I think that they were wrong because I think that there's only really, really one election process, which June and November are part of the same process. The Court of Appeal essentially invalidated the entire June election, where Meredith Lintock got 42% of the vote, and completely ignored that in its decision by calling for a special election. And I think that's not justified. I think basically the problem is that the statute was worded in a way that's somewhat confusing, and the court took a literalist approach to the statute instead of really looking at the statute in the whole context of the election code, which is pretty complicated, really, once you get to look at it. And, of course, it has a lot of different adverse consequences, and the court didn't want to look at those as well, and I don't think the legislature intended those consequences, which is leaving the positions vacant at the beginning of the new term, making it impractically difficult for them, for the Board of Supervisors or anyone to fill these situations, also doubling the number of special elections or the occasions where special elections can be called, which is going to lead to a lot more special elections.
But only when a person dies in office, one of the two candidates on the ballot, in that limited period of time prior to the election.
Yeah, well, it doubles the amount of time because it applies it in June and now it applies it in November. The statute also says it only can be in a two-person race. And so in a primary, for instance, in this primary, in June, there was a three-person race. If Norm Vroman had died before the primary in June, 68 days before the June primary, then this statute wouldn't have applied because there were three people running. But in November, there's always two people on the ballot because that's the process of the election. And very often, one of them is the incumbent. So it's going to greatly increase the number of special elections that are going to have to be called, which are expensive. And as I say, they leave, because they're called in November or prior to the November election, they leave positions vacant. And I think the Court of Appeal didn't want to deal with those particular consequences, but I think they're rather important, and the state Supreme Court may want to.
But wouldn't it be fair to say that the Court of Appeals didn't want to deal with those consequences because that issue is not now before the court, and courts like to make their ruling as narrow as possible?
Well, I think that that might have something to do with it. I think that, those issues are important because they go to what the legislature really intended. Did the legislature intend that the Mendocino County District Attorney's position would be left vacant until next June? Then this would apply to sheriffs, assessors. It's going to apply to every county supervisorial race throughout the state. And would the legislature have intended to have left those positions vacant? And that's why the court should have dealt with those issues. It's not a matter of narrowing the interpretation that it's giving, but it is saying, is this what the legislature intended? And I think in that light, they should have dealt with it.
So basically what you're telling us now is a summary of what your argument will be to the Supreme Court as to why they should accept and rehear and, from your position, overrule the Court of Appeals?
Well, this is part of it. I hope my argument is a little more complicated than and detailed than what I can give on the radio now, but this is a summary, and this is some of the points that we will be raising.
When would your written argument be due?
It's due on December 1st. It has to be filed on December 1st.
Then what's the time frame? What will happen at that point?
There'll be time for the petitioner to respond to the request for the petition. There'll also be an opportunity for organizations and people to file amicus letters as to whether they think the Supreme Court should hear the case. And it would be a 30-day, I believe, time limit for the Supreme Court to decide whether to hear the case.
So that takes us to January 1st. And then at that point, the Supreme Court will respond or seek oral argument based on the written arguments that you and the petitioner, in this case Keith Folder, have presented to the court?
Oh, no. If the first step in the process would be for the court to grant review. If the Supreme Court grants review, that means that the Court of Appeal decision is no longer in effect in any way. And then after that, there'd be a full briefing schedule and, oral argument, and that would stretch out over a period of time.
And in the interim, the Board of Supervisors in Mendocino County has appointed Keith Folder to be the acting DA.
I don't think Keith Folder would be continuing as the DA. It's my understanding that Keith Folder was only appointed as the acting DA to the remainder of Norm Vroman's term in office, and that term in office will end in December 31st. And after that, part of the problem with the Court of Appeal decision is it's a little unclear what happens after that and who can appoint who to what, but that would be a whole new ball game as far as the Board of Supervisors and whoever they appoint would be.
Well, I don't think the Court of Appeals addressed the issue of the supervisorial appointment of an interim DA. That's a statutory position. They, as I recall from their decision, said that there has to be a new election.
Yeah, you're right. The decision has nothing to do with who the interim DA is. Keith Falder didn't bring this case as the interim DA. He had nothing really to do with that. He brought it as a wannabe candidate for DA, and, that's fine. That he can do it as that. Yeah, there are statutes. They're basically in the government code that deal with the power of the Board of Supervisors to appoint during a vacancy in a county office. And there's some conflict in those statutes and some confusion as to what statute would actually apply and who they could apply and for what term they could appoint somebody after Norm Vroman's term is completed, which would be at the end of December. And there might be another lawsuit based on that, or there might be several lawsuits based on that. But that's just an added problem that the Court of Appeal decision raises, and it would happen in almost every case when there's someone dies before the November election, because it takes 102 days approximately to call an election after the person dies. So most people who die 68 days before the November election, in most cases, it will create the situation where there'll be a vacancy in the office at the beginning of the next year. And you're right, the Court of Appeal didn't even want to deal with that, but that's just the fact.
Well, Steve Antler, attorney for Meredith Lintott, I want to thank you for being with us in this two-interview program on Radio Curious about the situation of the Mendocino County District Attorney. And before we close, I have the same question for you as I do for everybody. Can you tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately?
I just finished a book last night, Barry. It's called October 1964 by David Halberstrom. And it deals with the race between the St. Louis Cardinals and the New York Yankees in the baseball season of 1964 and the changes that were taking place in baseball and the personality of the baseball players, Mantle and Maris and Bob Gibson, and quite an interesting book, and I really enjoyed it.
Were there any similarities that you found between the personalities and the changes that are going on in the DA's race?
No, I don't think so. That it didn't really have anything. It was to relax from the DA's race. It wasn't about the DA's race.
Well, Steve Antler, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Oh, thank you, Barry.
Because the County of Mendocino and Meredith Lintott have appealed the ruling requiring a special election, the California Supreme Court will have until the end of this year to decide whether they will hear argument and accept the case. If they reject the case, the Court of Appeals decision will stand, and there will be a special election this spring. If they accept the case, the Court of Appeals decision will be vacated, and there will be a new decision by the state Supreme Court. Either way, the next decision will be who will be the interim district attorney after Norm Vroman's term expires on January 8th. 2007. That's a decision that the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors must make at that time. The book that Keith Folder recommends is Theodore Rex by Edmund Morris, and the book that Steve Antler recommends is October 1964 by David Halberstrom. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. There are over 750 archives on our website, radiocurious.org, and I'm honored to tell you that Radio Curious is now part of the collection at the Library of Congress. We appreciate your cards, ideas, and letters, and do enjoy hearing from you. The email is curious@radiocurious.org. The postal address is 700 West Smith Street, Ukiah, California, 95482. The phone is 707-621-5075. Ignacio Ayala is the assistant producer. I'm host and producer Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.